sectors of it. There were many companies going back to the 1800s, and what was so interesting is that they had so much history. A lot of people may be familiar with pieces of it, like I was, like the American Standard and the Bellick Ware. But they had so much history that they actually didn't even catalog it because there were so many notable pottery studios in the town. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Fulbourg pottery, or Stengel, as it's known, is actually the piece of history that I knew about, that it had moved to Trenton when there was a fire at the Flemington plant.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It is a true America First budget. It will show the president is keeping his promises and do exactly what he said he was going to do when he ran for office.
That's President Trump's White House Budget Chief Mick Mulvaney, who says the president's budget blueprint released yesterday puts a priority on rebuilding the military as well as securing the border.
It reduces duplicative programs and it eliminates programs that simply don't work.
Expect to hear more from Donald Trump himself as he addresses Congress tonight. Airbag maker Takata pleading guilty to criminal charges for building faulty airbags blamed in more than a dozen deaths.
The Japanese company has agreed to pay out $1 billion for covering up defects in airbag inflators that resulted in the deaths of at least 16 people and over 100 other injuries. The faulty airbags led to a massive recall of millions of vehicles.
That's correspondent Tom Roberts reporting, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Who's there?
Fallen off.
Fallen off who?
Fallen off pain patch.
What?
Don't be fooled by the knock-knocks. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidocare Pain Relief Patches. Our narcotic-free, maximum-strength adhesion formula with dry technology won't have you worrying about a corny knock-knock joke anymore. Because pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
The nomination is confirmed.
Another Donald Trump nominee is confirmed by the Senate. Billionaire investor Wilbur Ross taking on the job of U.S. Secretary of Commerce after Senate confirmation, easily winning that by a vote of 72-27.
The Commerce Department has a wide range of responsibilities, including trade, census data, fisheries management, and weather forecasting. It is also responsible for promoting America to foreign investors. For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rose.
A bill dealing with the rights of the unborn moves forward in Iowa. A Senate subcommittee voted 2-1 yesterday for the measure that is often called the Personhood Bill to advance. It says life begins at conception and that both the Iowa and United States constitutions give the unborn person all of the rights they're entitled to. Today's Fat Tuesday celebration in New Orleans will mark the end of an nearly 3-week series of parades and parties as Lent begins tomorrow. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
In Riverside, California, officials are giving some updated information about a plane that crashed into several homes yesterday.
We have identified that all victims from this incident were from the aircraft. We have no residents that were involved.
City of Riverside Fire Chief Michael Moore saying five people were on board that Cessna 310 when it clipped one home, crashed into a second, and caused a fire at a third. Two of the homes a total loss. Three of the passengers were killed. Two women on board are in the hospital. One's in critical condition. Some people didn't even realize the illness was around anymore, but another NHL team is dealing with an outbreak of the mumps. A couple of players on the Western Conference-leading Minnesota Wild have been diagnosed with it, and Wild head coach Bruce Boudreau says that outbreak came out of nowhere.
At practice yesterday, it didn't seem anything that was there, and then this morning, John Worley came up to me and he says, "We got two guys at the doctor's because of this."
The news comes after four members of the Vancouver Canucks of the NHL were hit with that highly contagious ailment. And YouTube viewing around the world accounts for nearly as much daily watching as all U.S. television does. People watch a billion hours a day on the video streaming site, according to a new study. More than 1,000 centuries worth of video every single day. By contrast, Americans watch about 1.25 billion hours of TV every day. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barr.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We could do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Good morning. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's 11:07 and time for Chamber Radio weather. It's currently 57 degrees with sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. For this afternoon, looks like the clouds will start popping by today, high near 68. For tonight, showers mostly between 10 and 2. Some patchy fog kicking in this evening as well. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms possible mostly after 2 o'clock. Some of those storms could be severe with damaging winds. Otherwise, let's see, high near 74. For Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms possible mostly before 11 o'clock. Chance of precipitation 90%. Again, some of those storms could be severe with some damaging winds and gusty winds. Low of 43. Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 49. Thursday night, does look like there is a chance of snow happening while we are all sound asleep. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a chance precipitation of 30% and a low of 29. Friday, chance of snow in the morning, though it looks like the likelihood is now going down. There's about a 30% chance now of snow on Friday morning. Otherwise, it looks like partly cloudy skies with a high near 40. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 21. Saturday and Sunday, both looking like sunny skies. On Saturday, high near 40. And then on Sunday, high near 55. That's Hunterton Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning. You're listening to 100andchamberradio.com. It's time for Some Things with Money. This is Michelle Heidi, and with me, Joe Patton. Welcome back from vacation, Joe.
Do I really have to be here?
Yes, you do. So why don't you share with our listeners how much fun you had on vacation?
Well, I had a bit of fun. Friends were all in a house down in Palm Coast, Florida, and we killed ourselves walking the three floors, lots of stairs. But then again, if you're going to be on a beach in a house, you probably should have it raised above what normal float stage would be.
Absolutely.
And we did that, and you know, we had our food, and we had our spirits, and we had our good times, and lots of pictures, and lots of good memories with some really nice people. So,
excellent.
Looking forward to doing it again. Looking forward to warm weather. Unfortunately, it appears that we're not going to have warm weather here for very much longer. I don't know. Laura was sharing that S word, snow, for Friday.
Yeah, but it's only Tuesday. That could change. Yeah, hopefully it does.
We're hoping so. But
the last day of February, I'm ready to turn over the calendar to March and set our sights on springtime.
That'll be nice. I mean, the weather has been warm. The stock market's been hot.
Yes, it
has. And like I said, we've been positive on the Dow for about 13 days now. In fact, even this morning, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 15 points to 20,828. The S&P, green, no, not so much. It's red, down 2 points to 2366. And the NASDAQ is down 6.75 to 5340. Over in Europe, Europe isn't doing all that bad. It's green across the screen. FTSE up 24 points, 0.33%. The DAX is up over 0.2%, up 25, almost 26. The CAC 40 from France is up over 16 points, over 0.3%. Asia markets have been mixed, waiting for Trump's speech. Oil prices today falling as rising U.S. output is affecting OPEC cuts. Oil is now at $53.40. That's down 65 cents a barrel. Gold holding steady ahead of the president's policy speech, although it is down a bit now, down 60 cents an ounce to $1,258.20 per ounce. And the 10-year Treasury mixed as well. The yield is now currently at 2.353%. So that is the update on the markets. But what's going on? Well, as I said, Dow Jones Industrial Average is looking to make it 13 positive days in a row. And, you know, Michelle, that would tie its longest winning streak dating back to 1987. And tonight, President Trump's going to deliver his first address to a joint session of Congress. Won't that be interesting? On Monday, the president said he would make a big announcement on infrastructure, while the White House spokesman indicated the administration planned to boost military spending by $54 billion in its new budget. Of course, Senator John McCain said that's woefully inadequate. He would like to see significantly more. In tonight's speech, investors will look for the president to provide more specifics on reflationary themes, such as a planned tax reform and regulatory reforms. However, we at Ameriprise believe details on these subjects could continue to be light. There's a lot of complexity in the repealing and replacing of Obamacare, and that's consuming Washington's focus at the moment. Let's see, overbought conditions, they seem to be, continuing, although, you know, we've talked at length to clients and other folks regarding the more, let's say the state of euphoria in investor attitudes towards stocks following the election. Looking at the charts of the S&P 500, really does help to reinforce that assessment. The S&P 500 index, that's trading well above its 50 and 200-day moving averages, with recent momentum now pushing domestic stocks into overbought territory as the relative strength index, RSI, stock momentum really has carried equities into territory that warrant a short-term caution in our view. We haven't had a meaningful correction in quite a while, so don't be surprised. Whoa, just lost technology. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden we end up with that overdue correction at some point in the not-too-distant future. Let's see. Stocks have moved into overbought territory in the middle of February, and stocks have remained in this condition ever since. Although far from a foolproof indicator, momentum readings above 70 historically reveal outside buying activity that could act as a contrarian signal, while an RSI reading below 30 may warrant a short-term buying opportunity, as investors may be too negative on stock prices. In our view, an RSI reading currently at 80.5 demonstrates rather strong momentum driving stocks today and adds further evidence of the extreme one-way direction of equities in terms of where they've been traveling over the recent months. Now, combined with already stretched equity valuations on a trailing and forward price-to-earnings basis, domestic stocks could face near-term headwinds if fiscal, economic, and fundamental expectations are not met. Admittedly, moving averages and RSI readings are less informative for guiding long-term investment strategies. Nevertheless, we believe the information highlights another near-term risk that appears to be building in stock prices today, particularly if already strong momentum trends were to falter or even reverse course. Asia-Pacific equities finished mixed on Tuesday's trading session. January industrial production unexpectedly fell 0.8% month over month in Japan versus a forecast of a positive 0.4%. Things are actually looking pretty good in Asia. European markets across the region have been trading mixed of late. Over recent days, there's been a pickup in press regarding the possibility of a second Scottish independence vote once Brexit is triggered. The UK Prime Minister Theresa May is expected to trigger Article 50 in early March, and she may already be preparing to head off calls for a second Scottish vote. According to the Financial Times, May could emphasize the importance of local Scottish elections first, which could act as, I'll say, to test the strength of the Scottish National Party and Conservatives. So still a lot of upset in Great Britain over Brexit. And if it doesn't go well, that could be one of those black swan events that trigger the correction that we have been waiting for here in the U.S. markets.
All right. We are going to take our first break, and then when we get back, Joe's going to cover some more of the current state of our financial markets. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100andchamberradio.com. Again, Joe Patton, Michelle Heide, both certified financial planners with Patton Heide & Associates. If you have any questions or would like some additional information, feel free to give our office a call, 908-713-6600. Wanted to share a little tidbit of information. A lot of folks are starting to wonder when the Fed is going to raise rates again, and it looks like, according to CNBC, Fed's Kaplan just dropped a big hint on where rates are headed. Gee, I wonder where rates are headed.
I don't know, but I think right now the gamblers in Vegas are saying there's a 50% chance that they're going to raise rates in March.
Exactly. And with Federal Reserve Governor Dan Tarullo announcing on February 10th that he's going to leave the Fed as of April 5th this year, the seven-member Board of Governors will be functioning with just four members. President Trump is expected to fill the three vacant positions, and Janet Yellen's 4 years as Fed chair runs through February of 2018.
Well, contrary to what the president feels, or at least said in the past, I think Chair Yellen has probably done a fairly good job, considering all the stuff that needed to be dealt with.
Exactly.
And we haven't seen fantastic growth out of the economy, but I'm not quite sure that I would point the finger at Chairwoman Yellen as far as the cause of the woefully inadequate growth. There are many other things that have occurred that were far beyond the control of the Fed chair.
Absolutely. I agree.
So, what other things are going on? Well, return of stable stocks. Low volatility regains favor. Yeah, I guess if you're retired or soon to be retired, low volatility would always be in favor.
Absolutely. Because no one likes volatility. No. I haven't had a client ask, put me in something extremely volatile,
maybe,
so I can't sleep
if they're about 12 years old. It may seem premature to discuss defensive equity strategies while the volatility index sits just above 12, which is amazing.
Crazy.
And the S&P 500 hasn't seen a 1% move to the downside since mid-October. But a curious trend has emerged during the market's steady march higher. During February, the S&P 500 low volatility index has quietly outpaced all other style-focused sub-indices. In the 5 months beginning mid-July of 2016, a period that began in the aftermath of Brexit and ended in the wake of a Trump presidential victory, low volatility, or low vol equities, had nearly their entire premium taken out as market participants began to favor deep value stocks. The group suffered from its status as a bond proxy as the yield on the 10-year Treasury gained approximately 100 basis points. The typical premium since 2010 for the low vol index is 8.3%. Currently, we see the relative valuation on the index as in line, but not necessarily attractive. As is typically the case, several underlying forces are driving the renewed appeal of low volatility stocks in our view. Chief among them include stabilizing bond yields and increasing political uncertainty. During the downtrend in key bond yields over the past two plus years, low vol stocks, particularly stable dividend payers, benefited as income-focused investors sought to increase yield with the so-called bond proxy stocks. When yields jumped post-election, along with the equity investors' appetite for risk, low volatility stocks underperformed significantly. And those are your large blue-cap industrial types. However, with the stabilization of bond yields, investors seem to have rediscovered conservative equity exposures. Adding to the recovery of low-vol stocks, in our view, is rising geopolitical uncertainty. We believe domestic and international hurdles coming this spring may be playing a role in the repositioning of equity portfolios. Looming in mid-March is the expiration of the U.S. debt ceiling. We believe the timing of the debt ceiling debate has the potential to cause unease about increases to infrastructure spending, defense spending, and tax cuts. Toward the end of March, the United Kingdom will officially activate Article 50, meaning UK governments. It's set to begin the formal two-year process of exiting the European Union. And finally, the global populist movement will again take center stage in Europe in late April as the French people elect a new president. Trends such as the one re-emerging in the low volatility subset should now be easier to identify for advisors with the new factor return tables that are being provided by Ameriprise. I mean, we're using these things in structuring portfolios for our clients. So the world is changing in terms of equity markets. What was hot was not hot and is now hot again. But remember, if the gamblers are right in their assessment of increasing interest rates, that will put more pressure on bond prices and may make these low volatility stocks even that much more attractive.
Yes, they do. And hot off the press this morning, we received our five-year capital market assumptions from Jeffrey Knight, who's the Global Head of Investment Solutions and Co-Head of Global Asset Allocation at Columbia Threadneedle. Essentially, twice a year, they do an extensive update on the five-year return forecast, and really the purpose is twofold. First, taking a longer-term perspective helps set strategic asset allocations and design portfolios for diverse investment goals. Second, and equally important, maintaining long-term forecast helps provide some context for responding thoughtfully to daily swings in market prices. And as Joe just mentioned, you know, when you look at the VIX, the volatility index, we've had next to no volatility. So at some point, normal volatility will start to kick in again. So in terms of the update that Jeff and his team put together, they began with a complete overhaul of the economic and interest rate forecast following the election. The new administration intends to bring a comprehensive shift to the conduct of economic policy, and the changes we expect, including tax cuts, deregulation, and fiscal stimulus, will create a new and higher trajectory for both economic growth and inflation. So the sum of real economic growth and inflation equals nominal economic growth. So the central case focuses on the capital market implications of the positive inflection for normal economic growth as a worldwide phenomenon. A higher trajectory for nominal economic growth should in turn bring about a normalization of monetary policy. So because their central case may not come to pass as they describe, we must also consider alternative scenarios, just because it's always good to cover all bases. So, you know, their key case, or the most likely case, presumes a departure from the quote-unquote secular stagnation conditions that have dominated the headlines for many years. So essentially, they've identified two important deviations from their central case that help to define alternative scenarios. So the alternative scenarios contemplate a world where policy changes are in one case ineffective and in the other actually counterproductive. You know, so when we take a look at the most likely scenario, we expect to see a positive inflection for global growth in nominal terms. Such a shift ought to be, in our estimate, positive for equity markets, but challenging for bond markets. Certainly, this view is compatible with the market reactions that have been observed over the past several quarters. So they contemplate more of the same, with a key feature being that both of these trends expand globally, with valuation more supportive for equities and more stretched for bond yields. In this scenario, we expect policy rates to normalize and for inflation-sensitive assets to perform reasonably well. A less likely scenario would be policy ineffectiveness, considers the possibility that economic policy reform is not able to overcome the forces of deflation. In this scenario, we could find ourselves in the familiar territory of low growth, low inflation, and ample policy support. In this scenario, a recession would be probable within a five-year forecast horizon. And then the least likely scenario, which would be the global backlash scenario, considers the consequences of realized policy changes resulting in isolationism, protectionism, stunting global trade, and bringing about a sequence of responses that serve to increase geopolitical tensions around the globe. So in this scenario, a recession is a near certainty and financial markets would obviously perform poorly. So that's viewed as a low probability scenario at this moment. But of course, we're going to remain attentive to any indication that the likelihood of this path is rising. So when we take a look at some of the expected returns, they've definitely increased the expectations from their prior forecast, both with U.S. stocks on the large cap, small cap side, developed market stocks, emerging markets. Bonds, you know, to some extent, especially those that are treasury inflation protected, some of the investment grade corporates, emerging market, you know, they've increased their outlook for those, but they have come back or pared back high yield corporate bonds, commodities, and some of the absolute return types of investments that are out there. So again, if we take a look at the expected returns overall, they've risen since the last forecast of 2016. Even so, expected returns remain below historical averages for all major asset classes. So again, we're not expecting the historical 8 to 10% in the S&P. Equities retain an expected advantage return over bonds, broadly speaking, and that advantage has increased, again, going into a rising interest rate environment. A sensitivity analysis of the scenarios also offers some additional insight. You know, as Joe mentioned, equities are expensive. So in the event that the downside scenario materializes, the expected drawdown from equity investments could be severe, especially from those that are invested in equities that perhaps should not be. While we do not explicitly forecast sector returns, of course, there are always going to be sectors that perform better and sectors that perform worse than the broad-based markets. So the key, again, folks, is to have that strategic allocation, which is looking at long-term projections, but also having your tactical allocation to take advantage of some shorter-term sector trends. So with that in mind, we are going to take our bottom of the hour check of the markets and the weather, and then we'll be back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I think it's going to be a speech that speaks to all Americans.
That's House Speaker Paul Ryan on what he expects to hear when President Trump addresses a joint session of Congress this evening. Ryan speaks on NBC's Today Show as the president himself spoke about prepping his primetime speech on Fox and Friends.
All I can do is speak from the heart and say what I want to do.
Trump expected to detail his plan to beef up the military and border security in the budget plan he'll be sending to Congress later this week. Former Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear will deliver the Democratic response to the president's speech. Authorities investigating yet another wave of bomb threats called into Jewish community centers and schools nationwide. The Anti-Defamation League says at least 20 more such threats were received yesterday in a dozen states. That brings the total since the beginning of the year to 90. You're listening to USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
The Book of Mysteries opens up the mystery of Masada. Masada is the mountain desert fortress on which ancient Israel met its end as its last soldiers were overcome by Rome. For 2,000 years, Israel was dead. Its land was a waste. It had no hope. But God promised he would resurrect Israel from the dead, and he did. And the resurrected nation went back to its ancient grave, Masada, to excavate it. And they discovered there something amazing hidden, a message, an ancient prophecy for 2,000 years. Ezekiel was this: I will open up your graves. I will cause you to come up from your graves. I will bring you into the land of Israel. It was waiting for 2,000 years for the day to be fulfilled. What does it tell you? God's promises are true. And it doesn't matter how dead and impossible something is. He's the God of the impossible who opens up your grave.
What you just heard comes from the Book of Mysteries. Get it online or wherever books are sold and at mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
It is 11:33 and time for a check of the weather. Let's see. It is 57 degrees with mostly sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. Just looked out the window there. There is a slight chance of some showers this afternoon, but looking into this evening, looks like we'll have a low of 50, but a chance of some severe thunderstorms happening tomorrow afternoon. Some of those storms could be severe with damaging winds, otherwise high near 74. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 49. Thursday night, looks like there is a chance of some snow leading into Friday morning. However, then temperatures will heat up to close to 40, and that chance starts to go down quite a bit. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of 21. Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 40. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 55. Looks like it'll start warming back up again next week as we enter into March tomorrow. Hard to believe. I can't believe we are wrapping up February today.
Can't wait.
I can't wait either.
So sure, looking
January
forward
and February
to more sunshine.
Flown by.
So are you going to be sitting in front of the television tonight watching the president?
But of course.
I know you will be. A lot of people will be.
A lot of people will be.
Yeah, looking for ammunition to use against him.
Yes.
A lot of that going on in the country these days.
There's a lot of that going on. I wish people would start focusing on, well, not that this stuff isn't important. Obviously, it's important. But instead of all the hate that's going on out there, I wish people would just
find it most
become
interesting
a little bit more human again.
So
a
many,
kinder.
There's so many people who didn't vote for him. So there's a lot to go around in terms of gatherings of people. But, you know, it's funny. There's so much obstruction. In fact, I guess that's the favorite word of his opposition. Obstruction, obstruction. And then when things don't get done the way they need to be done, the same people who obstructed will come back out and say, well, you didn't get it done. Well, maybe because he wasn't allowed to have the tools or the people in place that he needed to get it done. So when you hear people complaining about results or not getting the results fast enough, keep in mind that most of the people who are complaining about that are the ones who created the problem. But be that as it may, Dow Jones Industrial Average, Michelle, it's in the red still, down 6.96, S&P's down 3, NASDAQ's down 16. Europe, we do like Europe. It's very green. FTSE's still up 0.3%. The DAX up 17, a little bit over a tenth. The CAC is up almost 0.3%. Oil down 85 cents a barrel to 53.20. Gold price is now down $1.50 an ounce to 12.5730. 10-year Treasury yield down 2.349%. And more conversations coming up about things like college. You know, outstanding student loan debt, $1.31 trillion as of the end of 2016. And 11.2% of the student debt in dollar value is at least 90 days delinquent or is in default. Again, that's as of the end of 2016. The delinquency calculation really understates the actual delinquency rate, since college student loans that are now in deferment are treated as if they are current with regard to their payment status. And the source of that information, well, that's the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. However, who pays? Mm-hmm. Well, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has proposed last month that his state provide free college tuition to students from families earning up to $125,000 per year. Now, the program, still to be approved by the New York State Legislature, would apply to full-time students at state university schools or City University of New York schools, where the average tuition is between $6,000 and $7,000 per year. Now, that's just tuition. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he wants the state to pay, but Michelle, who do you think actually provides the money for the state to use for those payments?
Reach into my pockets here.
Yeah. I've seen it at the top of a historic document. It starts with "We the People."
We the People. Yes.
Let's give out more free stuff to students. Let's bring people in from outside the country.
And as we've talked about, not everybody
vote Democratic.
Not everybody should go to college. There are many children that are ready for college, and then there are a lot of kids that are ready for trade schools and a lot of the other opportunities that are available out there. So,
let's see, what's the next free thing the government could give away to help increase or enhance its power? We're getting housing, we're getting food, we're getting health care, we're getting cell phones, transportation, housing, I mentioned. Now we're going to give away free education. And all of this really does create an opportunity for the state, local, and federal government to expand its size and control over many of the areas of our economy, let alone control over our population. And quite frankly, if somebody keeps giving you all of this stuff on the backs of fewer and fewer people who are able to afford throwing out those tax dollars to pay for other folks' consumption of goods and services, eventually that, you know, doesn't end well. Looking at the parable of the goose that laid the golden eggs, one egg after the other was consumed by the townspeople until there weren't enough eggs. And what happened? They ate the goose. So don't think that somehow you're going to be immune to the knives that come after you, because eventually You know, it's going to be 15, then 16, then 18, then $50 trillion in debt that will have to be paid. Or no one from any third world nation in their right mind will lend any money to the United States to pay our tab. Mm-hmm. So that's, it never ends well.
No, it does not.
No. So what you got?
Oh, I've got some information on one of your favorite topics, annuities.
Oh, joy.
Because as we all know, very few topics in the world of personal finance generate as much heat as annuities. Because if you listen to the personal finance experts on TV, annuities are the very devil.
Well, you know, the Department of Labor kind of shared that opinion.
Yes, and if you listen to a lot of sales folks out there, they are the greatest thing since sliced bread.
No, the commissions are.
The reality, however, isn't as black and white as some would paint it. So annuities, folks, are tools just like mutual funds, CDs, savings accounts, stocks. You pick a tool based on the job you want it to do. You aren't going to use a screwdriver to pound in a nail, and you aren't going to use a hammer to screw in a screw. Annuities can work well in the right situation, but in the wrong situation, they are horrible. So, just wanted to go over some of the basics with you, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. So, starting with immediate annuities. Immediate annuities are basically like a pension. So, you give your money to an insurance company, and they promise to give you an income, which starts immediately, in exchange. The first important point to make is that once you invest your money in this annuity, the lump sum is no longer your money. It belongs to the insurance company, and in most cases, you cannot get it back. This illiquidity is probably the main reason why immediate annuities are not currently popular. While you don't have a right to the lump sum anymore, you do have a right to income off of it. So this can be an income that lasts as long as you live, known as a life-only annuity. It can last as long as you and your significant other live, known as a joint and survivor annuity, or it can be an income that lasts for a guaranteed number of years, typically 5, 10, 15, 20. Well, what happens if you choose a life-only annuity and die the next day? Well, unfortunately, you just gave your insurance company a windfall because they aren't obligated to mail out a single income check. So for this reason, most people combine the life-only or the joint and survivor option with a guaranteed number of years. So, for example, if you want to make sure that income checks are paid out for at least 10 years, you would choose a life and 10 years certain annuity. That way you will get an income for your lifetime, regardless of whether you live 2 years or 200 years. But if you die before 10 years is up, your beneficiary will collect for the remaining time frame. So if you passed away after 2 years, your beneficiary would receive income for another 8 years. Next type of annuity, deferred annuities. So these annuities don't provide an income stream immediately. They are designed to grow your nest egg. At some point down the road, you can turn them into an income stream by either converting them to an immediate annuity or by adding a lifetime income benefit rider. So essentially, there are three types of deferred annuities: fixed, variable, and fixed indexed. So fixed annuities are similar to CDs. They don't lose money. Insurance companies promise to pay a specified interest rate for 1 year or for multiple years, called multi-rate guaranteed annuities. After the initial guaranteed period is up, the insurance company will declare the rate they will pay for the coming year, but this rate will never be lower than a certain guaranteed minimum. For example, let's say an insurance company offers a product that has a rate of 3% for the first year and a minimum guaranteed rate of 2%. That means for the first year, you'll get 3%. The second year, you might get 3%, might get something higher or lower, but definitely not lower than 2%. Realize, however, fixed annuities also carry a surrender charge in most cases. This means that for a certain number of years, typically anywhere from 5 to 10, you will get hit with a surrender penalty if you withdraw your money. Usually, however, the insurance company will allow you to withdraw up to 10% of your money after the first year without a penalty. Variable annuities, similar to mutual funds, they're going to go up and down depending on what the underlying investments are doing. They offer a handful of subaccounts that invest in a variety of stocks, bonds, sometimes real estate, commodities, other types of asset classes. Variable annuities also come with a death benefit. This means that the insurance company will give your beneficiary a certain amount, often equal to the amount you originally invested if something happens to you. Let's say you invest $100,000 and then it drops to $50,000. And just when you didn't think it could get any worse, it does, and you die. Well, because of the death benefit, the insurance company will give your beneficiary $100,000, not $50,000. As you can imagine, the insurance company doesn't just do this because they're nice people. They charge you for this, which is called a mortality and expense charge. In addition, you will incur management fees for the subaccounts as well. They also have surrender charges, just like fixed annuities. Now we have fixed index annuities. Those are the hybrid annuity. So they combine aspects of the fixed and variable annuities. They're similar to fixed in the sense that you can't lose money. However, your return will fluctuate. These annuities track an underlying index, such as the Standard & Poor's 500. The insurance company gives you the option of determining how much you want to track the index. The most way is to give you the index's return up to a certain amount called a cap. So let's say you choose the S&P index with a 5% annual cap. So if the market does 3% for the year, you'll get 3%. If it does 10%, however, you will get the cap of 5%. But if the market went down, you wouldn't lose any money for that year. So those are the three types of deferred annuities. Now, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, many of the annuities out there today have something called lifetime income benefits. So these benefits can be added as a rider for an additional cost. So they give the primary benefit of an immediate annuity, which is guaranteed lifetime income. But they come without the drawback of an immediate annuity, which is the lack of liquidity. So every company has their own spin on the riders, but the concept remains the same. During the deferral period, your account value grows based on the subaccounts it's invested in or the indexes that it is tied to. When you want to turn on the income stream, the insurance company calculates how much income they can give you for life. This is guaranteed and might increase if the investments continue to grow. So if at any time you decide you want the lump sum, you can stop the income stream and withdraw whatever remains in your account, which is typically based upon the current market value. So just wanted to give you a nice little overview in terms of what annuities are and remind you that it's not a one-size-fits-all. You want to make sure that if you are considering things like annuities, you know what they are, why they're being recommended, and making sure that they could be a good fit. I mean, as Joe and I constantly talk about on our show, whenever the markets start to get a little bit volatile, you start seeing more and more advertisements for, you know, lock in, protect your money now, put it in an annuity, and people go running out their doors and knocking on the insurance company's door saying, oh my gosh, protect my money, protect it now. And then a year later, you know, the markets are finished with their volatility and people are scratching their heads saying, now what is this thing that I have and why is it not doing what I thought it was supposed to do? So again, as with anything, no matter what it is you're looking to purchase, whether you're buying a new couch or whether you're buying an investment product, do your research ahead of time, understand why you're buying it, how it makes sense, advantages, disadvantages, and then make a decision, but not an emotional decision. Okay.
Yeah, it's just occurring to me, Michelle, that people go out there and they'll spend a couple of $1,000s a year on a $500,000 insurance policy because they want to make sure that at their death there's a benefit that's guaranteed that'll go to their loved ones. Mm-hmm. It's reasonable. But then you also have the people who will take a $500,000, $500,000 out of their 401k and give it to an insurance company with some bells and whistles on an annuity product and build up a cost of about 3.5% a year, year in and year out. Seems to be a little bit more expensive than a life insurance policy. Not as tax efficient, comes with redemption restrictions, and it's something that the Department of Labor was looking at, scratching their heads collectively and going, why would somebody do that? It's not for everyone. There are one or two cases that we've come across in the last 10 years where it might have been appropriate. Mm-hmm. But generally, if you're looking at annuities, you're looking at it to create a private pension for yourself. You want to be able to get a guaranteed check for as long as you live or for a fixed period of years, naming yourself or multiple beneficiaries to guarantee that that distribution continues over the time period that you would like it to continue, and providing income to those people for your life and or their lives without all of those excessive expenses. So if you want investments, make investments. If you want the opportunity to generate a rate of return on your portfolio, dedicate a piece of your money to that. But if you want a guaranteed income, you wanted your company to provide you with a pension for life, Well, you also want to have your annuity provide you with a retirement income for life without high costs, without tax inefficiencies, without restrictions on, well, I just had an event occur that I didn't anticipate, and now I need to take $25,000. What do you mean you're going to take 8% as a surrender charge? It's only responsible to sit down and figure out how you should be taking those nest eggs and putting them into multiple baskets to ensure that if things go wrong or not according to plan, that you're protected. Because, folks, the people who work under that evil suitability standard that we talk about all the time, they're working for their company. They're working for their compensation. They don't have an obligation to do what's in your best interest. And they're going to be making recommendations on products. We've seen it over the last, my 34 years, that are great for the, I'm putting my fingers up in quotes, financial advisor, and not so good for you unless the situation that you describe to your financial advisor stays in effect for the balance of your life. And when has that ever happened?
Exactly.
So, you know, be careful out there. If you need a guaranteed income to supplement your pension, fine. We love immediate annuities for that. They're low cost, they provide guarantees, and they fit into a balanced financial plan. But all of the hybrid stuff, you need to be careful. And you don't have to listen to us or the other, you know, radio people that talk about annuities all the time. Listen to the Department of Labor. Read through their studies. You get all the facts you need.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back to wrap up today's show, Some Things About Money, here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back to wrap up today's show, Some Things About Money. I'm Michelle Heide. With me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heide and Associated. Patton Host.
Associates. Who was on vacation?
I think maybe I need a vacation. Holy mackerel. All right, so let's see here. All right, so, sorry about that.
Have you been reading all of the reports coming out on housing sales going down, going lower this month, last month? Well, why is that?
Why is that?
Well, it's because there were, 1.65 million existing homes for sale nationwide as of 12/31/2016, a total that has dropped 460,000 in the last 6 months. Now, the 1.65 million for sales is the lowest level reported, ever reported, and that's according to, well, the National Association of Realtors, but they've only tracked the statistics since 1999. So it stands to reason that if there aren't as many homes on the market for sale, fewer of them will be sold.
All right, let's see. What other little tidbits do we have? Let's see. Talking about the markets, since 1950, there have been 58 different 10-year periods. So, for instance, you know, 1950 to 1959, 1951 through 1960, etc. The S&P has produced a positive total return result in 56 of the 58 decade-long periods, i.e. 97% of the time. So, as you know, the S&P 500 consists of 500 stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. So, just to give you an idea, because again, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, the markets have had this nice post-election rally, and some investors are starting to feel a little bit antsy as far as, well, how much further can it go before the bottom falls out?
And it's always a function of time and patience. Yes. Investors are rarely patient.
I say they're mostly impatient.
They need to adopt a foundation mentality, or you know, even you know, a Chinese cultural mentality of long term. I mean, foundations invest with the idea that the money isn't going to be used for 25, 50, 100 years. And they're very patient, and they don't go in and out of the market based upon something they read on the internet or see on television or read in the newspaper or hear on the radio. They're in it for the long haul. As individuals, long haul to us is probably, now going back to the last time we picked up our smartphone. And that's just wrong when it comes to investing. Because even individual companies that you're buying stock in, they have much longer-term plans for that company. And their strategies are really the type of things that individual investors should be paying attention to. Because they're not going in and out of their commitments to borrow money, to sign contracts. They're looking at the long haul. They want to make sure that it's predictable, that it's affordable, and that they're able to generate that long rate of return that's necessary to enhance shareholder value, keep the folks happy. And you should be doing the same thing for yourself. So a well-diversified portfolio using various sectors in order to generate an average target rate of return that will provide you with the dollars that you need to live on over the time that matches or exceeds your life expectancy, if retirement's your goal, or, you know, in 5 years when you wanted to buy that house. Well, okay, what's the rate of return that I need to generate on the money that I'm starting with and the money that I'm adding to in order for me to hit that target in 5 years? That's how you should be looking at your portfolio, not bouncing around in and out. But I guess, what's the best or the biggest value we provide our clients? We hold their hands.
Exactly.
We tell them it's okay.
It's about the facts, but it's also about the emotions and helping keep an eye on the ball, as they say in the golf world.
Be the ball.
But. Yeah, exactly. Be the ball. Keep an eye on the goals.
That's what it takes. So
determining what's important, prioritizing, staying focused,
and believe me,
being patient.
Politics, all the short-term stuff, it's always a catastrophe when the other guy wins. You know, it's always going to be this, it's always going to be that. People forget that the role of president is really to keep the country safe. It's a security issue. It's not to help you build your personal wealth. It's not to identify with your, you know, moral character or your individual values. That's nice, but you know, typically that's what you get from a political party. They're trying to play on you however way they can to get you to vote for them. Because after all, you know, you contribute the money to them. They elect their people. It's all about power. And even on the immigration side, you know, you bring people in from outside the United States. I love immigrants. We're all immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know who's coming here, and you want to make sure that they have a skill set that could be used. Otherwise, it's going to be a net expense to each and every taxpayer in the United States. So for every tax dollar they generate through their participation in the labor force, they're going to be taking in a multiple of that in, you know, different types of benefits that we are providing, whether it's on the local, state, or federal level. That's not sustainable. And as you continue to increase that population, you put even more pressure on our citizens here in this country. Why would you do that? But they do. And I guess the reason is because if you provide them with a path to citizenship and they're getting used to all of these entitlements in order to maintain, you know, a decent life, they're going to start relying on the party that they perceive as responsible for the free stuff. This is supply and demand. You know, this is basic stuff, no matter how you paint it. If you want to make it sound nice, that's good, but it always comes down to some things about money.
All right. Well, don't forget to buy local, buy 100.